Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Thursday to you. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show. Hopefully everyone is having a great day today. One more day. We are getting closer, and we're getting closer to Friday, which means a host of football games on Saturday, a host of football games on Sunday. It's football season. We're 4 weeks into the NFL, 5 weeks into college, and I know you're ready for the weekend. If you're watching, like I said, this is PLR, this is The Cave Show, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get down and let them know that PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Listen, you can take your cigar is home with you when you go in there and you buy them, or you can become a member, get a locker. That locker backs up to a humidor so nothing ever goes bad. And it's really a great idea. Become a member, you get a locker, you get your nameplate put on your locker. Everyone knows who you are. Everyone knows it's your locker. Everyone knows that you are a member of Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. You never have to, like I said, worry about anything going bad. A lot of folks don't have humidors at home. They put them in a little plastic bag, and then you go to smoke your cigar, and it's not that same freshness. Well, don't do that. Keep them there. Come down, relax, watch one of the many televisions they have. They do have the NFL ticket, so you can watch every single game in comfort. I'm telling you, it is a way to do it. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Again, let them know that PLR sent you, and you can take 10% off of any cigar purchase you have. Well, we got a lot to get in today. We have some NFL. We got some college. We got a little bit of NBA, some news coming out. And like I said, Courtside with PLR is coming back, so be ready for that coming very, very soon. Online with us, of course, on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, I had her show last night. She completely killed it on gameplay. The one, the only, Mia Chambers. Chambers, what's going on today?
Oh, you're using my first name. What is going on here?
Okay, just answer the question. Don't ask questions. Answer questions. Okay, get it. See, I didn't say, hey, Chambers, what's going on? Please ask me a question before you answer a question. That's not how it happened.
You know what? Whatever. I'm doing great. Glad to be back. Another wonderful Thursday. Thursday night football's coming. I can't complain too much, Paul. Can't complain too much.
Well, I'm going to try not to complain at all. It depends on what happens tonight with my beloved Bears. I know we do
Just
our
start
picks
complaining
on,
now.
I know we do our picks on Friday, but you know what? I have a good feeling tonight. I really do. I have a good feeling. I'm going to say, obviously, a little bit later in the show, who I picked to win. But I have a good feeling.
Do you know?
I feel like Justin Timberlake. I've got a feeling. I don't know the rest of the words. But you know the song.
I do know the song. I'm not sure if that's Justin Timberlake, but I do.
It is Justin Timberlake. It's from Trolls, the movie Trolls.
Oh. Well,
so like
that tells you.
I forget. One of my sons was singing it this morning, so I know that's
oh,
it.
Oh, so you definitely know who it is.
Yeah. When you get kids, you know all these songs, all these new fandangled songs that come out.
Well,
yeah, and
I'm
use the word fandangled. Well, I do have it down. This is what I do. Are you okay?
Who, me?
Yeah, I thought you coughed. I'm just making sure of your health.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I coughed, though.
Well, then whatever sound you make, stop making that sound.
What sound is that?
I don't know, but she didn't sound good. Hey, listen, I have a question for you, and I completely forgot to ask you. And I've been wanting to ask you, it's non-sports related, but I have to double check here. You did watch the season finale of Power, correct?
Negative.
I've given you like 3.5 weeks.
The thing is, I'm trying to like hold
off. Here we go.
So that way, like, when the new season starts, I can like roll right into it. Because I mean, social media ruined it anyway. So I already know pretty much everything that happened. So without watching it in every detail, I might as well wait now, since I basically know the gist of it. Then when it starts back up, I can watch the finale and roll right into the new season and feel like I never missed a beat. I like it that way.
I apologize for the silence, but I'm just trying to continue judging you until I can think of the right words to say. I'm trying to judge if that's the absolute worst explanation I've ever heard for not watching the season finale of a show. And I'm trying to decide if you had that sitting on the tip of your tongue all this time, or if that was the worst on-the-fly excuse I've ever heard in my life.
This is nothing but factual information. This is not off the dome. This is actually what the facts are.
Don't give me that because you don't do it like me. I'm hearing a little bit of Ray Lewis in your voice right now. Like, I'm not sure which part to actually believe here.
The fact that it's nothing but truth is what you should believe.
Hey, do me a favor. Over the course of the next week, run that explanation by about 4 or 5 people. And then when the fifth person stops laughing while they were awake?
What do you mean while they were awake?
Did you, like, walk up to family members while they were sleeping and say, hey, I don't watch the finale of shows because when it comes back, I watch that end, that final episode, then roll right into I don't even want to repeat that, because you know what? Even though it was your explanation, I can't make my mouth repeat that. You know, it would have just been easy to say, I didn't watch it, so just judge me. But you followed it up with that explanation.
Because that is the truth. That's the reason why I haven't watched it. Either you want the truth or you want me to lie. I don't know what you want from me.
There are sometimes I'll take the lie. Because if that's the truth, give me the lie.
I'd rather just say the truth.
Right. It's almost as bad when I was in management at a local bank, big local bank that we both know. I had someone oversleep a 1 p.m. shift, and they told me that at first they told me they had issues because they were house sitting, and they went to check on the dog, and the dog ran by them, and they spent over 2 hours hunting down the dog because they didn't want the person that they were house sitting for, they didn't want their dog to go missing. Now, unless this was Superdog that ran by them when they opened the door, I found it really hard to believe that it took them 2 hours to find a dog, because if the dog went by them that fast, how would they even know where to look? That sounded like a dog that didn't want to be found. So how did they find them? Wouldn't it have been easier just to tell me from the beginning that they had overslept? Because when they got done telling me that story, I think the look that I gave them said, you know, I don't believe that. So I'm kind of looking at the phone the same way right now, but we're going to let this go because we have some sports to get into, and I'm really worried about you right now. Okay, so we're going to get into pro football first. We're going to go ahead and let that story marinate for a second, and we're going to get into pro football. Like you said, the Bears play the Packers tonight. And I kind of want to break this down just a little bit and tell you why. Honestly, I think the Bears are going to win this game tonight. And I'm going to sum it up real easily. I think that the coming back with the rest is not totally the best. I just don't think they can are going to be a little bit too much for the Packers tonight.
Well, that's very wishful thinking, in my opinion. Now, although I do think that the Bears could very well win this on any given Thursday night, I highly doubt that they do. The only way I'm saying that the Bears win tonight is if Jordy Nelson goes out before halftime. He's already injured, so he's not 100% healthy, so it's very likely that one or two hits could take him out of the game. I feel like unless you take out one more of his receivers, I don't think the Bears could stop him. Now, I did, you know, I have been watching the Bears play, and I have been a little bit impressed, but they come up short. They can't finish out the games, and so I'm a little concerned going to Green Bay and not being able to close out. Now, not saying that they may not have a lead the whole game, they may not be winning the whole game, but I'm not confident in their fact, in their ability to close the game. So that's where my concern comes in, and that's why I'm choosing Green Bay this week. But if it weren't for that, I would absolutely be choosing Chicago. They've been pretty impressive, considering that everybody thought they were going to be a, you know, 1-15 team, or maybe 0-16, maybe if you got lucky 2-14. But you know, they haven't been able to close. They haven't been able to close. So obviously they played the Steelers last week and they beat the Steelers, but the Steelers were less than impressive. And, you know, like you said last night, they were struggling a little bit. So a win is a win. You got to give them credit where credit is due. But against big-time teams, which when they played the Atlanta Falcons, they had a chance to win that game and they couldn't close out. That's what I'm talking about here.
Well, they closed out against a big-time team in Pittsburgh. And they've played three teams. This will be their fourth team in a row with that either made the playoffs last year or expected to make the playoffs this year. And but, like I said, obviously Green Bay is a better team. I mean, that goes without saying. But their
right.
defense is suspect. And the Bears running is actually very effective. And, yeah, we know Aaron Rodgers is never out of a game. I mean, that goes without saying. I still say he's a man when it comes to quarterbacking. But I'm worried about Green Bay's defense. Now, if the Bears fall behind and they got to count on Glennon to bring them back, game is over.
That's not gonna
game
happen.
Set match.
Right, exactly.
Right, game set match is done. I think this is a matter of them closing the game by having a good start to the game. The one thing that
right.
we can say, take out the Tampa Bay game, that's the outlier, and take out – roughly about four plays against Atlanta, the Bears' defense has played very well. They're not overwhelming. They don't have the stats that other defenses have, but they've actually played pretty well.
They played
so I think
well.
This game is
yeah.
going to be a little bit. This game is going to be a little closer than I think. We saw what the Packers did last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, who aren't very good. Who aren't very good, and neither are the Bears, but the. I do believe this game is going to surprise some people. And I could be 100% wrong. I may be 100% wrong. Something, though, is telling me the Packers are going to have a hard time with the running game of the Bears.
Well, yeah, and I agree because I agree with you on Green Bay's defense. It is not that great. I feel like, you know, it's suspect and they take off, you know, on plays. I don't feel like they, you know, they're playing to their full potential and they have a lot of injuries and, you know, that plays a big role. But like you said, it's going to be a fact of Chicago taking control of the game from the beginning and being able to hold on to that. Like you said, you know, the Steelers is a good team and they did beat them. However, the Steelers haven't been playing like the Steelers we know them to be. Antonio Brown, although he's, you know, the best receiver in the league right now, he's been less than impressive. Le'Veon Bell hasn't even hit 100 yards. You know, this is not characteristics of a Pittsburgh team that which should have won that game, which could have easily won that game. It's not like it was a blowout or anything like that, but, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't look that great. You know, they didn't play that great, and their star players aren't showing up. So, yeah, so you could take that win and you could call it what you want, but I don't see that happening with Aaron Rodgers, even with his lackluster offense and his suspect defense. Aaron Rodgers still moves in the pocket. Aaron Rodgers still making great throws. Ben Roethlisberger looks a little injured. He looks a little old. He looks a little like maybe I should have retired and maybe I came back for 1 year too long. I don't know. Maybe it's just a slump and they need to get in the groove of things, but it's hard to really say. You know, it's hard to really say in this sport, but I don't think Chicago wins unless they take control of the game from the beginning.
And that I see happening. I really do. And here's a stat that stands out. By the way, I think you meant to say Antonio Brown is the only person that's performing for Pittsburgh right now.
He is performing, but not how we're used to seeing him. You know what I mean? He is doing some things because, obviously, you know, he's making catches and stuff. But we're used to seeing him, you know, do miraculous things. Yeah, but that also falls on Ben Roethlisberger. He's got to get him the ball. He's got to be able to make the plays as well. So I'm just saying, like, not that he's not being great, but he's not playing on the level that we're used to seeing him play. And I'm not saying that it's his fault. It's not like he's dropping passes or nothing like that. The offense just hasn't got it together.
The Green Bay Packers averaged, or rather the Bears, are holding opponents to 83.7 yards per game on the ground. And I think that's one of the things that's helping them stay in games. Again, the exception was Tampa Bay, who just blew them out. But against Atlanta and Pittsburgh, and think about it, Atlanta has Freeman and Coleman, and Pittsburgh has Le'Veon Bell, and they're averaging, giving up only 83.7 yards on the ground for every team. And they're, in turn, running for 122.3 yards per game. And when you look at Ty Montgomery, who is the quote-unquote running back for Green Bay, he's only getting 41 yards per game. And if that holds up, that means it makes Green Bay one-dimensional. And no matter how good Aaron Rodgers is, and he's that good, if you become one-dimensional against any team, you are easier to defend. So I think it's going to be kind of interesting. I'm glad Thursday night games are earlier because we're technically only, 4 hours away roughly from kickoff. So we'll get right into that. But I know you picked Green Bay. I'm actually going with Chicago in an upset tonight. And then just an interesting tidbit, this is the oldest rivalry in NFL history. The record right now for Bears-Packers, they both won 94 games against each other, and they've tied 6 times. You cannot get more even than that as they meet up for the 195th time in this crazy series and rivalry. That's a lot.
Yeah, I do agree.
195 times, wow. That, like, predates my grandmother. And hell, it almost predates. It does. That's crazy. Like, you, when I sit back and think, I think, wow, my grandmother could almost watch every game in this series, which is nuts. Let's move along real quick. Let's quickly touch on a couple things that's going on in the NFL real quick. We're not going to get into. And this, on this show today, this will be a football only discussion. But I do want to talk real quick about Cam Newton, and I'm going to ask you, in your opinion, and by the way, Travis Benjamin is going to start Sunday. But in your opinion, do you think Carolina might be better off? Yeah, Benjamin, he's going to play Sunday. He was hurt.
Yeah, but he's not 100%.
Okay, but hold on. Do you think that if Cam has another performance like he had last week, you might want to sit him and rest him and, dare I say, let Derek Anderson start?
Okay. This is the thing. I would say yes, only because even if Cam is at his best, I don't see them beating the Patriots. So why risk injuring him even more? But
well, he's going to play this week. He's going to play this week.
No, absolutely. I know that he's going to play. Duh, he's going to play. But I'm saying, if you're asking me, would I sit him? Are we talking fantasy or like no?
No,
we're
no,
talking
no, no,
real life.
I'm,
no, no, no. That's what I'm
but,
saying.
But I'm talking. But I'm talking after this game, because he's already starting this game no matter what. I'm saying if he has a bad performance this week, do you look maybe to give him another week or two to rest and get healthy?
Who do they play next week?
I'm going to say it doesn't matter. I'm talking about just health overall.
This is why I'm asking. It absolutely matters who you play next week, because Carolina is going to lose this game on Sunday, okay? And it's against the Patriots. Obviously, they haven't been playing that well. I mean, you know, there's always a 1% chance a team can, you know, beat somebody, but it's not going to be happening for Carolina, okay? So they're actually going to lose this game on Sunday. And then you're talking about resting him. It depends on who they play, because it's a chance that they could win that game, then no, you have to play him, because you can't afford to lose any games. Carolina is not a team that's going to go 0-16. They very well could make the playoffs. Do you risk not making the playoffs to rest him? And then, look it, next week they play Detroit, which is another loss, probably.
And then the week after that, well, they're in Detroit. And then they come home to the Eagles, then they go to Chicago, then Tampa Bay, and
you have really no choice. Like, okay, so if they lose to the Patriots this week, they potentially could lose to Detroit and potentially could lose to the Eagles. So at that point, yes, I do rest him, because regardless, do you risk injury or do you prepare on a game that you know you're going to lose? I mean, you don't know you're going to lose, but chances of them beating the Lions in Detroit is probably not that good, right?
I mean, not if the Lions keep playing the way they're playing.
Well, right. That's, you know, that's also true, too.
Here's the thing. I think there comes a point where you got to look long-term and not just short-term. Obviously, it's going to be really tough. Right, but that's what I'm saying, though. So then what are you saying? You don't want to throw the season away this early in the year and say, oh, I'm going to rest him a couple of games. But at the same time, if he's so injured, he's not helping you win. You're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place right now. I'm just curious, is there a point where Carolina says, okay, we lose to the Patriots, well, we can't really risk him against Detroit because we don't want to go start 2-0 and then end up 2-3. Wait a second, but then we got another big game against the Eagles after that. So we even if we lose these next two, we can't risk going 2-4. And then you get the Bears coming along. You say, okay, well, maybe that we could give them a little bit of rest. And then there's a bye week in there, so maybe we rest them. But then the schedule gets tough again. So I'm just wondering, do you sit him? Do you make that move? Exactly what do you do? And I mean, it's the NFL. It's big boy football.
Not if he's healthy.
He's not going to get. The one thing you don't get in football by playing is health.
Right.
Get healthier when you play.
You're not going to get healthier when you play, but he does give you the best chance to win. So if he's in a position to where he can play and he's not playing injured, I mean, I get it. You're always injured when you're playing football. Something is always hurting you. But there's a point where you're playing with a broken foot, you're playing with a broken hand, or you're playing with a strain or a sprain. There's different levels to these injuries, okay? There's levels to this. So if he is on the higher end of being injured, you sit him. It's not worth re-aggravating the injury. But if he is well enough to play, you play him because he gives you the best chance to win. Ultimately, the goal is to win. And the way their season has started off, they really can't afford to lose any games. So at that point, you can make that a game-time decision. Start him. See how he does. If it, you know, if it trickles down, if it's out of control, you have that conversation with him. Look, we're trying to save you. You know, we're pulling you out. It doesn't make sense. This game is over. You know, we got to try something else. We got to save you. We can't risk sacks. We can't risk you running around and getting tackled because now you've given yourself up as a runner. You know, he's gonna run. You know, he's gonna scramble out of the pocket. So you have to be smart in that sense. You got, like you said, you want to think long term, but you always put your best players in. You always want the best chance of winning.
We will see. We are going to switch over to college football every Thursday. I love to give you the games that I think are the games to watch. Tonight, Texas plays Iowa State. It is the only college game on. Unfortunately, it's at the same time as the NFL game, so you just got to pick who you want to watch. Okay, this is a game that most people are going to say, why would I say watch this game? But here's why. Nebraska is playing at Illinois. Illinois is trying to prove under Lovie Smith that they can actually rebuild and play big boy football. Nebraska has a really bad loss at home to Northern Illinois, and I think they're going to almost have to reprove themselves that they are the Nebraska Cornhusker football team. I think that's interesting to watch because you have a team that's trying to prove to you that they are who they still are and a team that's trying to come up. So, to me, that's an interesting game to watch. SC plays Washington State. SC is – and both these games are on Friday. SC is number 5 in the country. Washington State is a ranked team as well. It's at Washington State. I think USC needs a dominating win here. Washington State, again, is still trying to prove that they belong. Any conference game is a big game. So, to me, that is a must-watch as well. Let's move to Saturday. Florida State goes to Wake Forest. Generally, that is a basketball score for Florida State and a non-basketball score for Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. Florida State is actually 0-2. They lost the first game of the year to Alabama. In that game, they lost their starting quarterback. They're starting a freshman, a true freshman quarterback, and they didn't look that good last week. They had that long rest because of the hurricane. So I'm really curious to see how they play in this game. If they do not come out and win this game, Florida State is 0-3, and any hope of winning the ACC or going to a great bowl is over. Now, they'll probably, because they have some cupcakes on the schedule too and some really bad teams, they'll get through those. But if you go 0-3 and you're 0-2 in conference, that's a bad, bad start.
Well, yeah. In college, you can't really lose games, so.
You can't. If you lost two, you're not going to the playoffs anyway. We already know that. Right. You can count them out of that, but you can't necessarily count them out of
a decent bowl
game. Exactly. A game that's going to be very interesting to watch. I just said how Northern Illinois went into Nebraska and beat them. And we like to call Northern Illinois the Big Ten killer. Well, they're actually going out to San Diego State. And San Diego State, if you don't remember, came in here and beat to Tempe, Arizona, and beat the snot out of Arizona State. And then they beat Stanford the following week. So these are two teams that I don't want to say they're upstart teams because San Diego State, they went to a bowl last year. And Northern Illinois, they've gone to bowl games too. If this was basketball, we'd call them mid-majors. There's no such thing in football. But this is a game to watch. This is a can't-miss game. It's 7:30 p.m. on Saturday night, and it will be televised on CBSSN. If you have nothing going on, watch this game. Yeah, I know everyone wants to watch, you know, the Alabamas and the Clemsons and all that, but we're talking about a team in San Diego State. If they beat Northern Illinois, that's a very good win. And if Northern Illinois beats them, we're talking about them beating Nebraska on the road and San Diego State on the road. So I think both of those games are going to be, that game is going to be a very good game to watch. I know there's a lot of other teams playing. There's some ranked teams. Mississippi State is going to Auburn. Wake me up at the end of the game and tell me who won. Miami of Ohio is going to Notre Dame. Wake me up and tell me who won. And Murray State, the basketball team, we all know the racers for that, are going to Louisville. Again, wake me up and tell me who won. This is the week where the big names may not necessarily be the big games, but the best games, I think, we've already given you to watch. So that's my two watch college games on The Cave Show. This segment is brought to you by Tzatziki's Pita Grill, located on Elliott and Priest. Best Mediterranean food in the entire Phoenix area. Again, they're located right next to T-Mobile. Get in there, let them know the PLR from The Cave Show sent you. They will take 10% off of your meal, everything made fresh daily, nothing held over, nothing reused. I give this example all the time with them. You're not getting chicken on fried chicken on Monday, chicken strips on Tuesday, and chicken nuggets on Thursday, all off that same piece of chicken. Everything is fresh. Tzatziki sauce made fresh daily, and every vegetable recut or cut daily, not reused. So get in there, Tzatziki's Pita Grill, Elliot and Priest, right next door to T-Mobile. Let them know that PLR sent you. Chambers, so you've been hearing a little bit about what's going on with this basketball, the scandal, the scams. We have Patino fired. We have the coach from that school down south, the assistant coach, arrested. We have other coaches that may get arrested. We know how the government works. Sometimes they arrest people so they can flip on other people. We know how this all goes down. Adidas looks like they're in some hot water this morning. Nike was subpoenaed. I'm of the thinking that why don't we just pay these players a little bit of change and they don't have to use all these back doors to get money, and that takes away coaches and shoe companies and all these other things that are trying to guide and steer players to colleges that use these shoes, colleges that use those shoes, agents when they come out of college, you know, stop guiding them towards that. Why don't we just give them a couple of dollars for money? I mean, for their pockets. And in that way, this is all done.
Yeah, that's very true. But, you know, because then you get into, well, he got more than me, and this one is getting more because he's worth more to the school, and then you get into issues like that. It's not going to be, you know, generalized. And when you're in school, you technically, I mean, I get it, like the stipend and stuff, but you technically shouldn't be getting paid. You're not a professional yet, you know, so they need to work out something where they have, like, a budget for, you know, for money for these kids, because obviously not all of them come from rich parents, so they're going to, you know, they're going to be looking outside, you know, for work. And if you don't want them to be focused on that, you know, during the, you know, the sports year and during school, then you're going to have to make, you know, some type of exception so they're not lured by, you know, those dollar signs from those, you know, big, those big names that you mentioned. So it's really hard to rationalize that. It's going to be hard to put stipulations on that. That's something that's going to have to be rolled out over the course of some years. Maybe that's to come in the future, but it's definitely going to be hard to decide who gets, who doesn't, you know, who's playing, who isn't. So if you're on the bench, do you still get the same money as if you play? You know, there's a lot that goes into it, because when you're talking about college sports, you can't put them on the same level as professional sports, where you have a practice squad and then you have your 53-man roster, and so be it.
You know what? I agree with that to a point. Here's where we treat college kids like they're not about to enter into the real world. And the real world says we don't all play in this box and everything isn't equal and everything isn't the exact same. So if you're on the swimming team and you're under full scholarship, you are getting paid. You're getting your scholarship for free, and you're on a swimming team. And people on a swimming team, if they're listening to me now, are saying, well, that's not fair. What you're saying is what I'm doing is not as important. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you're not in a revenue-driving sport. You're not a revenue-dependent sport. So you're depending on all these other sports to pay so you could play or participate in your sport. You don't bring money in. The 50 people that come out to watch that aren't bringing money in. And I'm not discrediting what they do at all. I'm not discrediting the archery team. I'm not discrediting any other sport. But if you're in Michigan and you're selling out a 105,000-seat stadium every single week, you're in Alabama selling out a 100,000-seat football stadium every single week, you're bringing revenue in. That means you probably deserve more money than someone else that doesn't bring in money. And I say that in that if you're playing for another team at another college, if you're playing football at Troy, even if you fill up a 20,000-seat stadium, 30,000-seat stadium, you're still not generating the same revenue. Therefore, each player should necessarily always get – the same. If mm-hmm. if you're a marketing director at if you're a marketing director at Best Buy, and you're selling accounts and you're selling ads and you're selling all this for Best Buy, and you're bringing in, let's say, $100 million a year. You're the top salesperson. You're knocking it out the box every week. And I'm knocking it out the box for Fertilizer Plus down in Wickenburg, Arizona. And we're bringing in, I'm the top salesperson, and I'm adding an extra $40,000 a year to the base revenue. I should right. get more money at Best Buy because I'm responsible for more. I'm generating more income, even though technically we're doing the exact same thing, I'm generating more income. So I should get paid more. And when people say, well, that'll make all the top athletes only want to go to one school, they do already. Every year we hear Ohio State one in recruiting, Alabama one in recruiting, SC top five recruiting class. When have you ever heard Southern Ohio had the best recruiting class? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard Washington State had the best recruiting class? Have you ever heard of Vanderbilt had the best recruiting class? No, you haven't. You never will. So when I hear that argument, I think that's crazy. And you go, well, maybe, well, that's going to be good, but Title IX, what about women athletes? The Connecticut ladies basketball team probably brings in just as much, if not more revenue, than the Connecticut football team. So it's not gender-related, right. it's money-related based on what you bring in. My second point is we always want to say, well, kids are in college. They're getting a free education. That's good enough. They should be able to deal with that. That's tough. Too bad on them, yada, yada, yada. Then two things I think that NCAA should do then. Cap what coaches make. Don't let coaches make more than X amount of money. If you're so concerned about them being student-athletes, don't pay a coach in any sport $4 million, $5 million, $6 million a year. You pay them that because they win and because they attract the best people. Also, make every jersey that can be bought a number 99 with no name on it. Stop selling the player's jersey. Don't put my man that plays at Penn State, I can't think of his name right now, the incredibly good, probably going to win the Heisman Trophy running back, Saquon, I can't think of his last name now, but don't sell his jersey. We don't know whose jersey it is. When Reggie Bush was at USC, you saw USC number 5 jerseys everywhere. When Reggie Bush left 2 years later, all of a sudden, wow, guess what? They stopped selling that number 5 jersey. The public isn't stupid. So if you really want to make it more amateur, do that. No spring training tables, none of that. You play football in season. Everything else you do off season, you do on your own. Coaches, give them all about $100,000 a year. If they really want to treat it like an amateur sport, treat it like an amateur
then
sport.
Then treat it like
but
an
the
amateur
NCAA,
sport. Yeah.
Exactly. The NCAA only wants it to be an amateur sport when they have to come out their pocket and people will say that you should pay players. But they want to treat it like it's a pro job when they do everything else. Can't have it both ways. Now, they do have it both ways because the NCAA is the mafia. You probably didn't know that. But when you watch all those gangster movies, the guy running everything actually really works for the NCAA. So they're the mob. The NCAA is the mob. But I'm so tired of players not getting paid. And then you see all this other stuff going on. And part of that is because you played football. Let me ask you this question. Say you played football in college before you played professionally.
Right.
But everyone is on the NFL for concussions and for everything else, correct? They're saying the NFL, they ignored CTE for so long. Look at all these issues that were happening. Who's on college? Who's talking about college? And if you get CTE there? Are you going to get money from the NFL suit? Nope. What about high school? What if you're getting so many head hits in high school and then you play through college, but really it came from high school? You see high schools being sued? No, because college and high schools, they use you and move you on. So, but you don't want to give this player a free trip home. You don't want to give this player an extra meal. You don't want to do all that, but you could be ruining that person for life. What we haven't heard, and I'm sure we're going to hear about it, what about the guys who played 4 years of high school, 4 years of college, weren't good enough to make it to the pros, but now they're suffering CTE? Pros didn't give it to them. College did. And all they did was use you and move you on. So pay these players, and I bet you stop all this madness. If you want the madness to continue, keep doing what you're doing. Chambers.
What's that?
Have you redecided? Have you thought about the error of your ways? Have you thought about what I said? All right, well, I gave you an out, and you didn't want the out, so.
No, because I told you it was the truth.
Like I said, I gave you an out. I gave you an opportunity at which you turned down. So I am going to, over the course of the next few months, which is a lot of months, before that episode comes up, the new season starts, I'm going to quote so much of this episode, you are going to get the episode without watching the episode.
And how long do I have?
To watch it? I don't know, about 4 hours. But the but the season comes back in June. And next week I'm going to start quoting from the season finale. Down to the last word. I've watched it about 13 times. I think I got it memorized.
Well, lucky for you.
So don't say I didn't give you warning, because the warning has been given.
Has been given. Okay.
Tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @official_mimi_c. You guys know my shows on Wednesday nights, Gameplay. We're live 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. If you guys like this show, you'll probably like my show. Can't make any promises. I'm a little ruthless. Come check me out.
I am a tall tree. What's your Twitter again?
@official_mimi_c.
And then you can always get us on Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. That's @thesportscave, where cave is always with the K. Check us out for sure on the website, thesportscave.com. Read some of the articles. They're really good. A lot of stuff going on. We will keep you informed. And then you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. Who knows what I'm tweeting about? Last week I tweeted a quote from a song. Sometimes I just do things. Who knows? Who knows why? So with all that being said, tomorrow, can't wait. We will be back Friday, wrap-up show. We will have your final NFL picks. And we are rarely mistaken, so make sure that you check us out. Until then, Chambers, thanks for calling in on the Carrie Lackey Wall line today. And only thing I can leave you with is have a good Thursday. Talk to you tomorrow, and go Bears.
Oh, yeah. You'll be hearing from me tonight. I am a helping hand. I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say,